More than two dozen runs of salmonids, salmon and steelhead, are on the endangered species list in our part of the country, listed as either threatened or endangered. Coho salmon are of particular concern, and they will take center stage this weekend when the 22nd annual Coho Confab takes place along the Klamath River in Orleans. California Fish and Wildlife hosts the event with the Salmonid Restoration Federation, and it is from that group we visit with the Executive Director, Dana Stoltzman. Welcome, Dana.
Thank you so much for that great introduction.
Sure. Will Harling's with us as well. He's the Executive Director of the Mid-Klamath Watershed Council. Will, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So, Dana, this is the 22nd of these events we mentioned. Since the beginning, is there much improvement in the welfare of coho salmon?
There definitely is fluctuation depending on the region. I would say that all coho salmon populations are definitely imperiled, and the main reason that this event was created, the founder was Richard Ginger, who's a long-term restorationist and an advocate for salmonids. And this event was actually created to bring communities together in remote regions where people are working and kind of have woven their community around the effort to protect and advocate for coho salmon and other salmonids. So we've had it in really remote locations like the Sinkione Wilderness, the Matoll, the Smith River, as far south as Lagunitas Creek. And we're really excited. This is the first time that we've been hosting it in the Mid-Klamath region. So we're thrilled to be partnering with Mid-Klamath Watershed Council and some of the tribes in the region.
So, Will, this puts it right in your backyard. Give us a sketch, if you would, of the Mid-Klamath Watershed Council and who the participating organizations and people are and what you've been up to.
Yeah, so the Mid-Klamath Watershed Council is a nonprofit that works with the Kudduk Tribe, the Klamath and Six Rivers National Forest, and other NGOs, as well as California Department of Fish and Wildlife, NOAA Fisheries, and other groups to restore salmon runs in the Klamath Basin, you know. And so we work closely with upstream watersheds like the Scott and the Shasta River, as well as, engaging efforts to, restore fish passage to the upper Klamath Basin. So it's a really exciting time on the Klamath with dam removal, the largest dam removal in U.S. history scheduled for 2021. But in the meantime, really what we're dealing with is coho salmon are hanging on by a thread. You know, we're down to less than 5% of the historic population. So figuring out how to, maintain those genetics until we start to see improvement in the main stem Klamath environment and get those dams down is very important.
So with the dams in place, there are limits to what you can do. I mean, you can only affect the areas downstream of the dams, essentially, in the Mid-Klamath area.
Yeah, the interesting thing about the Mid-Klamath or the Western Klamath Mountains and that stretch of the river is that, there's over 70 anadromous tributaries that, may not have names that a lot of people recognize because they're slightly smaller. They're not really rivers, but, they're coho strongholds like Horse Creek and Syed Creek and in the upper middle Klamath area. These agricultural valleys that, really have consistently shown strong coho runs despite, 150 years of degradation and, through, conversion to agriculture and wildfires and logging. So, creating, good habitat in these areas, right off the Klamath River, essentially creates this string of pearls down the Klamath that, allows coho to migrate up and migrate back to the ocean successfully.
We're talking about coho salmon here in the exchange with Will Harling from the Mid-Klamath Watershed Council and Dana Stoltzman from the Salmonid Restoration Foundation. You can join in as we talk about them on the eve of the Coho Confab on the Klamath River in Orleans. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. There are some protections for coho on the endangered species list, Dana, but is it enough? Are you proposing more runs for inclusion?
We definitely, basically the Southern Oregon, Northern California Coastal ESU, the Evolutionary Significant Unit, is considered, threatened and endangered on the Central Coast. And what we are really advocating, I'm actually part of a ad hoc group that's looking at strategies that would, how to make recovery plans more actionable. And some of the strategies that we're really advancing, the South Fork Eel River, for example, is really key to coho salmon recovery in this evolutionary significant unit. So some of the issues there are lack of in-stream flows and lethal water temperatures in the summer. As you know, we're in a Mediterranean climate where we get plenty of precipitation in the wintertime, but we have very long, dry summers, and that's really impacting refugia for juvenile coho salmon. So that's a big thing that SRF is currently focused on, are flow enhancement opportunities. Some of the issues and limiting factors are definitely different on the Klamath, but all of these watersheds suffer from legacy impacts of logging and mining. So we're really looking at hydrologically altered landscape, and sediment is a big issue. I would imagine, Will, that sediment's probably a larger issue than flows in the Klamath. Is that the case?
You know, it's interesting. Because of fire exclusion over the past 100 years, there are some streams, you know, that haven't had that conveyor belt of episodic sediment that are actually sediment limited. Now we're seeing that change in the era of mega fires when, you know, those landscapes burn really hot, and then all of a sudden you have this huge slug of sediment that comes down the stream. So, yeah, there are streams that are impacted by sediment. There are streams that are impacted by, intensive agriculture that basically throws the stream to the side of the valley and then uses the valley floor where, you know, once we had beaver dams that were, you know, making that stream have a sinuous snake-like pattern from one side of the valley to the next, you know. So there's this combination of the, you know, the pulse and the press disturbances, you know, press disturbances like dams and roads and agriculture and levees that, you know, are just taking the life out of our streams, you know, every day, every second. And so, you know, fish are evolved to deal with press disturbances like a wildfire or a flood, but it's these the pulse disturbances, but it's the press disturbances that we really need to address if we're going to keep salmon here on their southern range.
In the sediment and fire regime you were talking about, I mean, is this a case where you would have had, you know, if you had more regular fires, there'd be sediment coming down into the streams on a more regular basis instead of a whole bunch at once as you get with the mega fires?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, fire was the conveyor belt of both sediment and wood and these pulse events that were relatively small geographically, you know, so it kept fish looking for that good place for sediment and habitat with, you know, with the wood and the complex habitat that brings. But, you know, if you take fire out of the system, like we have in a lot of these drainages for over 100 years, you know, all of a sudden all the gravels wash out, and, you know, similarly below the Klamath dams, there's very little spawning gravel left because, you know, it's getting blocked behind the dams. So, and then, you know, the combination is that when fire finally does come after that much time, it's typically higher severity and there's more impacts, and, you know, there's a bigger hit to that stream in the short term, you know, like we saw after Mount St. Helens. So, you know, there's a very large resiliency of these stream systems to recover from those events and to actually have some pretty good habitat, you know, 5, 10, 15 years down the line. But the reality is that, you know, it's happening all at once. And so we're seeing impacts to our few remaining coho salmon streams all at once. And that's, you know, pretty scary when we're down to so few fish.
Will Harling's the executive director of the Mid-Klamath Watershed Council. Dana Stoltzman, the executive director of the Salmonid Restoration Foundation, SRF. They're going to be at the 22nd annual Coho Confab on the Klamath River in Orleans starting tomorrow. You can join our conversation as we talk about coho salmon and their fate in our part of the world. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Dana, give us a super wide lens here. For people who don't know much about fish, what makes coho so interesting versus, say, Chinook salmon?
Well, coho, silver salmon, they're, often on the coast, they were, you know, big populations, and they have kind of more specific requirements. They need cooler temperatures than Chinook salmon. So the coho salmon were very plentiful, particularly in the Eel River, the South Fork Eel, and in the Klamath. So they are the the most threatened and imperiled species because of, you know, deforestation and because they are not as they require cooler temperatures than certainly than steelhead and Chinook. So basically a lot of effort and prioritization has been on coho salmon recovery, and restoration does of course improve habitat for other species as well. And this SRF is a statewide organization, and we focus on all salmonids, but about 2 years ago when Richard Ginger founded this event, the idea was how can we bring a specific focus to coho recovery strategies and what types of restoration efforts really enhance and advance recovery efforts for coho specifically.
So when we're trying to get all that cool water to the coho salmon, I mean, when you've already outlined some of the issues with it. How hard does it get? How much harder does it get, I guess, in drought years or just generally with the steady climate temperatures?
It's definitely really hard. I mean, temperature is definitely one of the most challenging limiting factors to address. And there's a range of techniques from upslope management to riparian planting, creating off-channel habitat, which is an exciting restoration strategy that MCWIC has really employed over the years. And I know that we'll be looking at some off-channel habitat and projects that MCWIC has been involved with. So there's definitely a suite of strategies and techniques, and one of the things that's particularly exciting about hosting the CONFAB in the Mid-Klamath region is that there have been so many innovative projects and post-project monitoring. So it's really a convergence of excellent projects and practitioners and an ability to see projects that are pretty remote and would be hard to see as part of our annual conference and so forth. So I know Will could describe some of the projects that the Mid-Klamath Watershed Council has been involved in, as well as the Karuk and Yurok tribe.
Yeah, Will, in particular, I wanted to ask about... Will, in particular, I wanted to ask about the Syed Creek tour that I see on the agenda, which is among its subtitles, Reclaiming Stream Function in an Anthropogenically Hosed Reach of Syed Creek. How was it anthropogenically hosed?
Well, and this gets back to your question about what makes coho salmon special. And the reality is that their morphology and their evolution allowed them to dominate in those valley floodplain reaches of streams from southern Oregon to northern California and other places in the Pacific Northwest. And those were the places that humans settled first. You know, first off, we, trapped all the beaver, which were the engineers of those valleys and really spread that water out across the floodplain. And in fact, if you think about it, there was this coevolution between beaver and coho where, you know, the coho nutrients, the marine nutrients, fed the vegetation that fed the beavers and increased beaver populations to build more dams to make more habitat that coho dominated over other salmon in. And so it was this feedback loop that really, you know, it was an amazing phenomenon. So all the beavers were trapped. I mean, 80,000 beavers were trapped out of Scott Valley, which was once called Beaver Valley in the mid-1800s, in a span of 3 years. And so if you see just the work that a few beavers will do, you know, it's amazing to see, to think about how different we can't even fathom what that stream looks like today, you know. But if you look at Syed, similarly, there's still beavers hanging on, nothing like they used to be. The stream has been levied after every major flood. You know, they continue to shrink the floodplain and put that stream basically into a drainage ditch. And if you look across our watersheds, our valley floors, that's pretty much what we do, is we cut off the floodplain to make more usable space for humans. But the reality is that the survival of coho is tied to access to that floodplain.
Let's talk about the restoration projects and the kind of habitat restoration you do in the Mid-Klamath and what kinds of things you can do in the absence of large numbers of beavers and the fact that there is a lot of channelization of the streams.
Yeah, so in places where we can, we try to restore that function and reconnect those streams to that much broader floodplain, because that's where the magic happens. You know, that's where the food for fish is, and that's what actually protects them in the wintertime. You know, because what's unique about coho is the juveniles, you know, 3 to 4 inch fish need to survive, winter flood flows. And the only way they do that is to get out of the mainstream and get into these side channel and off channel habitats. And so, you know, one of the things that we've done as a kind of entree into these drainages where, you know, obviously we're not going to, you know, kick all the humans out and restore the floodplain. But where we can do is we can put off-channel habitats where it works for humans and also allows fish to get out of the main stem creeks and in the wintertime and actually grow a lot more during those months when they would just barely be hanging on in the creek. And so we've seen incredible growth rates, which translate to survival rates that are, you know, 2 to 6 times greater than fish that are in the main creek. And those fish, you know, then have a much better chance of survival on their out migration to the Pacific.
Now, we did mention that that one of the major issues facing the Klamath River, of course, is the fact that access for fish is just stopped by the 4 major power generation dams. Dam removal is on the agenda, I noticed, for the 22nd annual Coho Confab. I'm curious about the outlook for people in the fish restoration business like yourselves. It is a have you gotten to a believe it when we see it kind of attitude, or is there something else abroad?
Well, I believe it because, you know, we've been part of this movement for the last 20 years. And the reality is if, you know, the Trump administration could magically say, no, we're not going to, you know, take down these dams, you know, I could guarantee you there'd be, you know, thousands of people that would put their lives on the line to make sure those dams came down because it's, you know, it's about cultural survival for tribal communities. And it's about, you know, the strength and vitality of our, all of our downstream communities. You know, those dams bring us toxic algae and they're taking away our salmon runs. And so, you know, they will come down. And I think that's been our view from the beginning is there's nothing in this world that's going to stop us from taking those dams down. And so, you know, we're pretty confident that's going to happen. And so now it's, you know, what do we do, in preparation for that? And so one of our projects is looking at the main stem Klamath and how do we capture, you know, some of that sediment that's going to be released when they take those dams and use it to, you know, build up our, you know, our floodplain environments again, you know, to get that silt on these barren, rocky floodplains that have been, you know, denuded over time as the river's been channelized. And how do we bring that river back up to its old floodplain? And so there's some really interesting work to be done just taking the mine tailings that are actually impacting the mm-hmm. river's ability to move naturally and putting those back in the river in order to grade the river up again and allow it to reconnect to the floodplain on an annual basis.
Okay, it's a good reminder that should dam removal come, we're talking about 4 dams off the main stem of the Klamath. It is a beginning, not an end, by a long shot. The 22nd annual Coho Confab taking place along the Klamath River in Orleans this weekend, starting tomorrow. Dana Stoltzman is Executive Director of the Salmonid Restoration Foundation, co-hosting with California Fish and Wildlife. Will Harling, Executive Director at the Mid-Klamath Watershed Council. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right, it's been a pleasure. And that'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. More coming up. Stay tuned.